Good evening and welcome to Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church here in Lebanon, Virginia. And we're so thankful you've taken the time to join us tonight on Living Faith Television as we continue to be rooted and grounded in Christ by exploring the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And as always, we begin with the Bible because the Bible is God's inspired word to man. And when it comes to Christianity, friend, everything rises or falls on what we believe about the Bible, God's holy word. Well, tonight we come to the eighth message in our journey, fundamentals of the Christian faith. And tonight God is going to be speaking to us about his son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to be reading tonight from Matthew Gospel, the first chapter, and I'm going to begin in verse 18 tonight. And the word of our Lord says unto us, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we just thank you for the awesome privilege that you give to us to speak of your dear son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we have salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And tonight, Lord, we just pray for all of those who have joined us tonight. Lord, we pray especially for people who do not know Jesus. Lord, would you use the words that are shared tonight to bring salvation to those who are lost? Would you use the words that are spoken tonight to encourage us who know Christ as our Savior to live more fully for him? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, family and friends, there was once a farmer who went to town to purchase seeds for his farm. As he was turning home, one of the squash seeds he had purchased fell from his pocket onto the ground. It happened that within a few feet was another seed of a different type. The place where the two seeds lay was rather fertile, and miraculously, they began to take root. And after about a week, the squash seed showed signs of growth. That second seed showed none. After 2 weeks, the squash seed began to sprout leaves. That second seed showed none. After 7 weeks, the squash began to show fruit. The second seed still showed no progress. 4 more weeks came and went. The squash plant reached the end of its life, bearing much fruit in that time. But the other seed finally began to grow slowly. Many years later, that squash seed and plant was all but forgotten, but that other tiny seed, an acorn, had grown into a mighty oak tree. Many people want their faith to be like the squash. They want to experience it all right now rather than be rooted for life. Now, which of those seeds best describes you tonight? As mentioned earlier, this is the eighth message in this series of learning what it means to be rooted and grounded. And rooted and grounded is all about looking at the essential basic beliefs of our faith. Every one of the seven subjects that God has spoken to us about so far are part of what God desires. When God says in His Word, He wants us to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Well, as our scripture readings show, tonight we come to Jesus Christ. And family and friends, it is very important for us to understand that Jesus Christ is unique because Jesus Christ is unlike any person who has ever lived or ever will live. And what makes Him unique is that He is the Son of the living God. But more than that, Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. Now, when we spoke about the Trinity a few weeks ago, we discovered that God is complete only in His Trinity, so that we can say that without doubt, God the Father is God, Jesus Christ the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God. God is three in one. He is a triune God. He is a Trinity, and the Bible teaches that. Over 2,000 years ago, God physically entered our world, and He walked, and He talked, and He ate, and He slept just like us. Now, God came into this world in the person, the second person of the Trinity, His Son, Jesus Christ. So we can know without doubt that Jesus Christ is fully God and He's fully man. Listen, He's not some 50-50 mix. He's not God sometimes and then man sometimes. He was and is 100% God and 100% man all of the time. You see, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. He was totally and completely a man, just as He is totally and completely God. There was a miracle, you see, that took place before Jesus was born. Our text tells us tonight, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, family and friends, there's no doubt that Jesus was born from a human woman, and that something unexplainable and miraculous took place to make it so. Yet we can conclude that Jesus Christ was born just like us. His ordinary birth affirms that He is human. Jesus had a human body just like us. The Bible testifies to this fact that when Jesus was a child, He grew just like any other child grows. Luke wrote in Luke 2:40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon Him. Luke also wrote in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. In other words, as He got older, He grew up in height, in stature. Do you realize that Jesus got tired just like us? John tells us that Jesus was wearied with His journey. Did you know that Jesus got hungry just like us? Or that Jesus got thirsty just like us? The Bible says, and when He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, He saith, I thirst. And Luke tells us something else as well. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Luke 24:39. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He had a physical body. Except now His body no longer got tired. It never died again, but it was a physical body. Jesus was able to do things and appear places whenever and wherever he wanted. But he still had a body that was touchable and recognizable. Jesus had a mind like ours. Now remember what Luke had written earlier, that Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Family and friends, the Bible is simply telling you and I that Jesus Christ had to learn to walk and talk and read and write and eat just like us. The Bible teaches that Jesus felt emotions like us. He could be amazed, he could be sad, and he even would cry. He grieved. He knew everything. The Bible tells us that when his friend Lazarus died, that Jesus wept. And like us, Jesus knows what it means to be hurt, to grieve, and to be grieved. The Bible testifies, John 12 and 27, "Now is my soul troubled," Jesus said, "and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I not unto this hour." Then saith he unto them, speaking of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me," Matthew 26, 38. But there is one big difference between the human Jesus and the human you, and that is that Jesus never sinned. That's why the Bible can truthfully say to us tonight, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. 1 Peter 2 and 22 says, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." Hebrews 4:15 teaches, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin." So I want you to think about this with me tonight. Why is it important that Jesus be fully human? First, because the Bible says, "Whereas by one man sin, disobedience were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous," Romans 5 and 19. Jesus had to be fully human to serve as our perfect, obedient representative before God the Father. The Bible teaches Hebrews 2 and 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Listen, Jesus had to be fully human if he was going to die in our place. And this is vitally important for us. He not only had to be fully human, he had to be fully God, because he had to be fully human to be our mediator. You see, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between man, God, and men, the man Christ Jesus," 1 Timothy 2 and 5. But there's one more reason that Jesus had to be fully human. Hebrews 2 and 18 says this, "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." Listen, I think you all agree. Jesus had to be fully human to understand you and to understand me. Family and friends, we know what it's like to be tempted. We know what it's like to fail. Jesus had to experience the temptation, and that's why the Bible says that he's able to overcome temptation and help us to overcome those things that tempt us in life. There can be no doubt to the fact that God says plainly that Jesus Christ is fully and completely human. But Jesus is also fully God. Again, as we talked about when we spoke on the Trinity, Jesus is totally and completely God. Again, the Bible says, now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit. He was fully human because of his human birth. He was fully God because of his miraculous conception. Humanity and deity were united together in a way that had never happened before and will never happen again. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The Bible teaches that Jesus was fully God in a human body. Colossians 2 and 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Jews questioned Jesus in John 8, 57 and 58. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Bible says, Exodus 3 and 14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. There was no doubt who Jesus claimed to be. Paul, writing to the Philippians, wrote, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, there is no doubt that every knee will bow to or confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The writer of Hebrews wrote, Hebrews 1 and 6, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. The angels worship him. And God said, don't deny anything about him. Why is it important that Jesus be fully God? First, because only God is sinless. Second, because the sacrifice for our sin must be pure and without sin. Third, because Jesus could not have borne the penalty for sin, for the sins of the whole world, if he was not sinless. Fourth, if Jesus didn't bear the full penalty of the sin of the world, there would be no payment for anybody's sins. Fifth, that means if there's no payment for anybody's sins, no one could be saved. Listen, the most important and amazing miracle in the Bible is Jesus Christ. God becomes man. And God knows the greatest need of sinful man. Your greatest need, my greatest need, is the need for forgiveness. God knows the requirements of a holy God, a perfect sacrifice. And God alone meets the need and the requirements in himself, in the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. Jesus meets the needs of men and the requirements of God. Jesus Christ was born to die for the sins of all mankind. He came to pay your sin debt and my sin debt in full. He came and gave his life that he might meet our needs to the fullest. Jesus Christ gave his life to meet God's requirement. That is how much you mean to Jesus. All of this took place, the Bible teaches, because God loves his creation. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible teaches God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why would God do that? Friend, God did it for you. Wherever you are tonight, wherever you're listening to this message tonight, understand this is a divine appointment for you. You're not listening to this preacher speak by some accident. God has placed you in wherever you are in that place to hear this message tonight because God loves you. You may be in a prison house. You may be in a hospital bed. You may be at home and nothing's going right in your life, but here you are listening to me tonight because God loves you. God wants you to know that he gave his only begotten Son for you because that's how much you mean to God. And God is reaching out to you through my voice tonight. Friend, the Bible teaches that God the Father will not spare anything. He'll do whatever it takes to save you. And he did all that it takes to save you through the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. But every time some preacher preaches, God is sparing no expense in trying to reach your soul for heaven. He'll do whatever it takes to save us from our sins. He'll do whatever it takes to save us from a wasted life. He'll do whatever it takes to save you from the fire of hell. You may be in some bar tonight. You may be strung out on drugs tonight, but you're hearing this message tonight. Your marriage may be in the toilet tonight. You may be facing all kinds of hardship, but here you are hearing this message tonight, and God is doing whatever it would take to let you know how much you mean to him. You say, well, why would God do such a thing? Because God wants to save you from the fires of hell. Again, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. He ain't talking about the planet. He's talking about you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, friend, let me ask you a question tonight. Knowing all that God has done for us, what does it mean for you? What does it mean for you tonight? Can I ask you, do you have the assurance that when you breathe your last breath, you will be in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity? Do you know that if you left this world tonight, you would be in heaven with Jesus? Do you understand tonight that it is not God's will that any should perish? Do you understand that God desires for every soul, and that's what you are, a living soul, that God desires for every soul to come to repentance and put their faith and trust in him? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, the enemies of God, Christ died for us. If you don't know Jesus tonight, I pray you know and would hear, God does not want you to perish. And that step you might need to take, wherever you are right now, you know in your heart you're lost. You know if you died tonight, you would not be going home to heaven, but you want to go, but you're not yet saved. And the Holy Spirit will make you lucid enough to know that tonight. And if that's you tonight, and you know it, friend, you need to begin. You need to get on your knees right now. You need to pray sincerely from your heart. Oh, Lord, help! God loves to help His people. You may need to pray tonight, Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. Please forgive me my sins and give me the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And, oh, Lord, I thank you tonight for coming in and saving me. I thank you that you love me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, like Jesus in the garden, we must be able to obediently proclaim, not my will, but thine be done. If you're a Christian listening tonight, my hope and prayer for you is that you will commit to these five simple steps. They are simple steps that leads to a life built on a solid foundation. One that can withstand the storms of life and see us safely home to heaven. You may need to pray, Father, would grant that each one of us will do what Jesus has asked us to do in this text all the days of our lives. In thy precious and holy name we pray. As we close tonight on Digging Deeper, can I encourage you to call or send an email to us here at the church. The number and the address are on the screen. Let us know how we can help you. Let us know of your decision so we can pray for you and get materials into your hands to help you in your walk with God. You are important to God, friend. That means you're important to us. Let us go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And now may the God of all mercy and grace make His face to shine upon us both now and forever. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for joining us tonight on Digging Deeper. Thank you for God's will being done in your life. And until next week, then, so long.